When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. In, off, and running another hour here. Game time decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. It's the first Wednesday of June here now, and we are off and running with some Major League Baseball tonight. We've already had a couple of games finish up. I am debating whether or not a 9-run lead is enough for the Mets bullpen. They are up 9-0 right now. Severino throwing a 4-hitter into the bottom of the seventh. That is how bad this bullpen is. They will not allow Severino to come out of this game here with a 9-run cushion. Plus, that bullpen can use a breather. But 9-0 Mets over the Nats right now. We're getting ready first pitch for the Yankees, Twins, as well as the Orioles and Blue Jays. And let's not forget, too, one hit for the Dodgers so far against rookie phenom Paul Skeens for the Pirates. The Dodgers closed as an underdog. I'll repeat, the Dodgers closed as an underdog in this game. James Paxton on a hill for the Dodgers. He, too, has not lost a game yet this season. The Rays have scored 3 in the top of the first. The Marlins have answered with 2 in the bottom of the first. And just like that, we are off and running with the Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays here. Much more to get to when it comes to Major League Baseball. We'll touch base on all of these games throughout the hour. Interesting late night schedule of games as well. Looking for the Padres and Dylan Cease to maybe, I don't know, crazy idea, win a game against one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball and the Angels. We'll see if they can do that later. But in other news here today, we did learn a little something about the college football playoffs this year. Now, for those of you that don't know, the college football playoffs going to look and feel a little bit different this year than what it has been. Why? Well, we got a whole lot of games coming up for what is now an expanded 12-team playoff field. And this will be the first time that we are diving into more teams, more playoffs, more eligibility here. 9 of the 11 games that will be played here in this 12-team playoff field will be broadcast on ESPN, which obviously ponied up the money for that. So between ESPN and ABC, these games will absolutely be watchable here to the general public. You also have, it's not Netflix or anything like that. Your TNT Sports will have it, Turner. These games will certainly be watchable. There will be a couple of afternoon first round games is what it sounds like. But for the most part, these will be primetime games. And don't forget, this is for the first time, postseason games will take place on campus sites in the first round. So if you are seated 5 through 12, you will participate in the first round of the college football playoff, and the games will take place at the campus of the higher-ranked seeds. So seeds 1 through 4, they're going to receive a first-round bye, and then they'll play the first games in the quarterfinals. So this is, buckle up, this is going to be a whole lot of college football in the month of January. The 2025 College Football National Championship. We won't crown a national champion until January 20th. And it's going to be in Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz Dome there. That is the place or the location of what the national championship game will be. But when you think about it, and by the way, the 2026 College Football Championship, that'll be in South Florida in Miami there at the Hard Rock Stadium. But we're talking about games, quarterfinals beginning in the Fiesta Bowl, beginning on December 31st. So New Year's Eve, we are going to have a game in Glendale, Arizona. January 1st, you'll have 3 playoff games, the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl. The semifinals are going to take place at the Orange Bowl at the Hard Rock Stadium, January 9th. And then, of course, January 10th will be the Cotton Bowl for the other side. The winner of those games, they'll play for a national championship over a week later on January 20th. So January 10th, we'll have the final half of the national championship. And 10 days later, we will have the national championship. That is a whole lot of college football in the month of January now. First time. 12 teams, opportunity for just about anybody now to win a national championship. Or is it really, though? I am going to be very interested to see. We all know this is about the money. Let's not kid ourselves. This isn't because we truly think Boise State is just gotten shafted over the last decade, that they could win a national championship. No, they can't. But it certainly is going to bring in a lot more revenue, isn't it, though? When you've got this kind of college football schedule that is going to rival the NFL for the entire month of January. So we're going to get a whole lot of college football and then NFL football. January, bringing in 2025, should be absolutely crazy with football each and every weekend. We'll have Saturdays, we'll have Sundays, and I'm really not quite sure what the argument is going to be between, and you know it's going to happen, right? We're all going to go, the poor 13th seed is going to be screaming and yelling that they got screwed, that they should be the 12th. It's never going to end. Some people thought 16 teams would have been a great idea. But I am looking very forward to seeing how this all works out in the first year. I am going to throw a guess that one of the top 4 seeds is going to win this year. I know I'm going out on a limb, but something tells me 5 through 12 will not be playing for a national championship. Just got that feeling that the top 4 teams in the country will be vying for a national championship. That sounds awfully familiar, like we might have already had that. Yes, we did. But we went ahead and added 8 more teams anyway. So get ready for college football right through the end of January there in 2025. Can't believe it. Less than, 85 days now, somewhere in that ballpark, in which college football will be here. The NFL will be here. It's going to be it'll be here before we know it. I'm still trying to figure out how in the world that this is already June 5th. Once we get past the next couple of weeks, the NBA Finals begin tomorrow. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals begin on Saturday. Give it another 2 weeks, and then by the middle of the month, it'll be a whole lot of baseball and then a whole lot of getting ready to get updated on all the college football teams, the new coaches, the recruits that got in there, the transfer portal. There is a lot of work to be done when it comes to college football this year. We just went over that schedule, top 12 teams in a playoff. I mean, there's going to be opportunities betting and cashing a few tickets. Looking very, very forward to it. But There's a lot of work to do between now and then, including tomorrow night. Get ready, game one of the NBA Finals. Boston taking on Dallas. Can they? Will they? The next 10 days are going to be epic between the NBA and the NHL as the finals. Who's going to be that Stanley Cup winner? Does Florida get it done its second go after losing last year? Does Edmonton finally bring a Stanley Cup back to Canada, which is what they have been screaming for decades now? It feels like they want a champion. They want a Canadian champion and a Stanley Cup. Will they get it? Won't they get it? We'll have much more on that to talk about coming up. Joe Maddon will stop by. We're going to talk some PGA as well. The Memorial Tournament this week. Boy, that's Jack's Place. That's going to be an awful lot of fun. Come back and join us. Game Time Decisions continues on the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as the Pirates are now up 5-0. Let me repeat, 5-0. So turns out they were an actual underdog at PNC Park for a reason here. The wheels have fallen off. Bottom of the second inning. Pirates still batting, by the way, up 5-0 here. In game number 5.5, a nice 11.5. If you think the Dodgers are actually capable of swinging the bat and scoring runs, I have my doubts as Joe Maddon steps in here and we're watching this debacle unfold there with this Dodgers team who, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, didn't score a run last night. And so far they haven't scored a run in this game. And yet here, have they led in any game over the last month? It feels like, my goodness, hard to believe a $900 trillion roster is capable of not scoring runs here in the first week of June. I'm a little baffled by how bad they have been here thus far.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Looking at them today, I did think Paxton would at least be able to limit the bats of the Pirates coming out here. I can't believe he's been able to give up so many runs. The Pirates with 5 runs, they have a runner on first and second as well. This is not good for the Dodgers. But you look at them plus 1,020 on that money line. Once the bullpen comes into play here for the Pirates, can we see the Dodgers get back in this, Joe? I think that over 11.5 at minus 130. Would be the way I'd go if you're looking to live bet it.
I'm going to have to look at the Dodgers' total runs now, and I think it's time to fade them. They are brutal at this point, but I can make the same argument for the Texas Rangers bats, who are also brutal, but they are getting ready to take on Detroit. Top of the hour there, Kenny Maeda on the mound for Detroit. Urena, who got lit up last time out here for Texas. How are we approaching this game coming up, Joe?
I think both of these pitchers have to come out stronger. You're right. Urena got completely lit up. But you look at his home ERA, it's a 1.35. I'm expecting him to come out stronger here versus Detroit. And I do think Manaea can come out strong enough to go over his strikeouts. His strikeout number coming in at 4.5. That over is a plus 128. We've seen him have success, especially on the road with those strikeouts. We're looking at him coming in here with 14 strikeouts and 15 innings on the road pitched. And I do think he had 6 versus the Red Sox. He should be able to get over the 4.5 versus the Texas Rangers. I don't trust their bats right now. And I do think this is one where these pitchers are going to have the leg up for the full game. So give me the under 8.5 in this one as well.
All right. I love you going right to the plus money board. I love it. And you have an anytime home run here with the White Sox and Cubs, Joe? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. I am looking here for Luis Robert Jr. to come out nice and strong. We know when he came back into this season, he was able to get that big home run, and that's exactly who it was on. It was on the Chicago Cubs here, and I'm expecting him to be able to come out nice and strong in this one. Now, you're getting him for that home run at plus 340. You can take him for the RBI if you want. I do think that cashes easily, too. That's coming in at plus 124. And I think the Chicago White Sox, Joe, don't Lindelof have a chance of winning this one here versus the Chicago Cubs. They were so close to being able to get it done in that last game. And I know this team is on such a losing streak right now. This losing streak has to be broken. And until it's broken, we're getting that value right now. We're not going to get the value in the next game. I do think tonight is the one that's been broken here. And at plus 168, I'm jumping all over the White Sox here. I do think they can get it done.
I love this. All right, Dylan Cease trying to break the losing streak here. The Padres, they have been terrible. He hasn't been that great, but he's been pretty good on the road, and this is a lineup he should dominate, shouldn't he, Joe?
He should absolutely dominate here over the Angels. This Angels team is one that I can't trust not to strike out here. I'm looking at Dylan Cease now. His strikeout ability is so phenomenally strong. I do think you have to alt his strikeouts, though, today, because if you take it over the 6.5, you're laying so much juice. The books want almost 170 juice on the over 6.5. But if you take this up to 8+ strikeouts, that's coming in at plus 124. And this Angels team, I just don't trust them. I think he's going to get right around that 9-10 strikeout mark. I will take the 8+ strikeouts here at plus 124 and not get greedy. I do think, though, this is one where you got to look here at this one just to stay under that total of 8, 8.5. I expect the Padres not to have many runs either. And I do think, though, Manny Machado comes out nice and strong. You can look at him for the RBI in this. That's coming in at plus 125. In the past two games here versus the Angels, he's been able to get that RBI on the board. And in four of his last five games, he's had an RBI as well. His bat is hot right now, and I expect it to stay hot tonight.
All right, liking that. And finally, a little late night action there with the Athletics and the Mariners here. Is this going to be a high scoring affair? I doubt it.
I really doubt it as well. Logan Gilbert coming out here for the Seattle Mariners. I expect him to be strong. The Seattle Mariners are some of the least disciplined bats out there, though. They strike out a whole bunch. I'm looking at Joey Estes to come out here and be able to go over a strikeout number. Now, it is low at 4.5 at minus 128 to the over. If you want to alt it up, I'm going to take it 6+ strikeouts. Joe, you know I love looking at that plus money. That's coming in at plus 178, and I do think he has the ability here with how the Seattle Mariners just get reckless and start swinging at everything, trying to get those runs on the board, and I do think he can have a strong day. Now, I would also look at this one to stay under that total. Like you said, these two pitchers should be nice and strong. I'm not expecting the runs to come easily in this one. So the under for the first five as well as the under for the full game.
Oh, I love that there. All right, I don't want to be accused of being a homer. So just let me ask you real quick before we get you out of here, Joe. It's going to be Panthers and a gentleman sweep. I mean, I'm just going to say it. They're going to let them get one, and it'll be over in five here. How many games does it go here, Joe?
I think it's going to be a little harder, Joe. I am with you on the Florida Panthers. I think this one goes six. This is going to come down to that goaltending and that defense. It's going to be a great series.
5, 6, 7. Bet them now. Feels like we can cash those tickets. Joe Maddon, best of luck. We'll be back. Game time decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. In addition to the NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup, let's not forget the legendary Belmont Stakes this weekend here, and Craig Milkowski stepping in for us on a daily racing form, and we always appreciate his time coming by, because the first thing I guess we should let folks know, Craig, is that yes, it's called the Belmont Stakes, but it's at Saratoga. Don't ask, it's just at Saratoga, but yes, in name it's the Belmont, but I guess we should let folks know the big difference is we're not a mile and a half here, right, at Saratoga, so it's a different race to handicap that way.
Yeah, it's normally at Belmont, but they're doing some remodeling there, rebuilding the grandstand. So new track, and it's usually the test of champions. Now it's more similar to the Kentucky Derby, and it's debatable if that's a good or a bad thing. But just on this 1 year sample that we have, it's a good thing because we got a really good field. We got the winner of the Derby and the Preakness showing up, plenty other horses. So I'm really looking forward to this race.
Yeah, it's a fascinating field here of these 10 horses. Let's start with the favorite here, Sierra Leone. Listen, folks have been talking about Sierra Leone since before the Kentucky. Oh, wait till the Belmont. All right, well, here we are at the Belmont. I mean, this horse has only lost two races, both of them by a nose. The favorite for a reason?
Yeah, he's the most consistent horse in the field. He always shows up, but I think there are some negatives with him as well. He's still a little bit of a goofy horse. These are just three-year-olds, and he doesn't always run straight. He really likes to head towards the rail once they get into the stretch, and that's got him in trouble in the past in both of his losses. And there was a real argument he could have been disqualified from second in the Kentucky Derby, and I know the trainer Trad Brown is trying a few things with him, changing the bit, but whenever you want to take a short price, you don't really want to have those kind of concerns.
Yeah, especially when he's drifting around the turn. Don't want that. Mystic Dan is interesting. Number three, Mystic Dan, I believe, is the only horse that is going to be running in all three legs of this year's Triple Crown. Kenny McPeak, Brian Hernandez Jr. Can they get two out of three?
Well, Ken McPeak is a guy who likes to run his horses. There's no doubt about that. So if anybody's going to run in all three legs, it would be one of his. I'm a little dubious of his chances in this one because the trainer did express some concern even before the Preakness. He ran fine. I think maybe he regressed a little bit from the Kentucky Derby. Now he's got another quick turnaround coming back in just 3 weeks. And he's a horse I think might be over the top a little bit. He's going to take a lot of money at the windows. So he's not for me in this spot.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've got not one, well, it shouldn't be a shocker, but not one, not two, but three Todd Pletcher horses in this race here. Craig, the one guy that every other trainer hates at the Belmont, maybe it's at Saratoga, so it'll help, but Mindframe is a fascinating horse. I mean, this horse, when's the last race this horse won, and what do we need to know about it?
I mean, he's a very lightly raced horse. He's only run twice, but he's won his two races by a combined 21 lengths, I believe it is. Not much competition in those. He's going to take some money. He draws a good post for a lightly raced horse. He's outside, so if he's not used to a big field or this better competition, he can just stay outside of them. But as someone who's bet these races for a long time, I'm always leery of taking these really lightly raced horses, getting thrust into much better competition so earlier in their career. So maybe he'll turn out to just be a freak and be better than all of these, but at that 7-2 morning line, that's not something I want to take a stand on.
Yeah, number seven, Protective is the other, of course, one of three that Pletcher has in here. So tell us, who wins this when it's all said and done? Who's the top choice on your card, Greg?
Well, the guy I'm going with is Resilience, the two horse. He ran in the Kentucky Derby, finished sixth, beating about seven lengths in there. But he was a horse who was outside most of the way, like three or four lengths wide, made a really good move into what was a hot early pace. Packed it in a little bit, but I really like the direction he's moving. He's getting a little better every time he runs out. He's sent by Bill Mott, and I really like that 10-1 price. I think he's got a much better chance than his odds are going to indicate.
I mean, like you, Craig, you don't come on here giving out chalk like some other guys on this network. No, you come out with 10-1 shots at the Belmont, and we could not be happier to have you swing by as always. Check them out at the Daily Racing Forum. Appreciate it, Craig. Game Time Decisions returns after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions. And that's exactly the time of the week it is in which you got to take a look at the PGA Tour, because it's going to be a heck of a next couple of weeks. But it starts at Jack's Place, the Memorial here, one of the better tournaments on the tour, mostly because you will not find anybody winning it at minus 20 or crazier there. And nobody knows that better than Brady Cannon. And Brady, Jack's Place is always a challenge. I think it's a fantastic warm-up for the U.S. Open for these guys. All the heavy hitters. Guys love this tournament for Jack's Place. And it is a challenge. So I don't think we're going to be seeing, 16, 17, 18 unders this week.
No, I doubt it, Joe. And you're right. This is a big boy event, one of the best non-major tournaments there is on the tour calendar, right there with Riviera and Torrey Pines. We're on a heck of a run here. I mean, you go Wells Fargo, PGA, Colonial, Canada, now into this and the U.S. Open, and then you get a signature event after the U.S. Open as well at TPC River Highlands. So this is a really good time to be a golf fan and a golf bettor. You're right. This course is extremely demanding. The fairways are pretty wide. That's where Jack kind of gives you a little bit of a break. But the greens are lightning fast. They're undulated. They're smaller than tour average. And the rough that borders the fairways is very, very thick. Some of the thickest rough, certainly probably the thickest rough we see in a non-major. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great tune-up. You're really asked of all the same skill sets that you need to win a major. You got to do everything well this week. I specifically honed in on iron play, strokes gained approach. Nicholas, he's a second shot golf course guy. You got to really hit the greens in regulation, get it close to the hole. You have to be spot on with your irons this week. And then I looked at par fours, which most of them are 450 to 500 yards in length at this golf course. You got to be good on those to separate yourself from the field. And then finally, into these small greens, hitting these iron shots, you're going to miss some greens. You're not going to hit them all in regulation, and you've got to be able to get up and down from some of that very thick rough that borders these greens. So give me a guy that can really scramble, do well on the long par fours, and hit great iron shots. And I think you have the formula for success this week. By the way, you mentioned, 18, 20 under par. Probably not going to happen. My good friend Jeff Sherman at the Superbook here in Las Vegas set the number at 275.5. Will the winning score be under or over 275.5, which amounts to 12.5 under par?
Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting, isn't it? Especially with the names at the top of the board. Of course, the Schefflers of the world as the favorites. Rory, Xander Schauffele, I think, in his first tournament as a major champion now. The top of the board, it's the usual suspects. But is there any value looking past those guys? All right, well. Okay, well, hold on, Brady. We'll get you back there. Look, I completely stumped him there. I threw out Scottie Scheffler and immediately started collecting bail money. I have no idea why, but we're going to have to get back to him on that. But the reality is, it is the usual here at the Memorial right now. Scottie Scheffler right around. You can see it top of the board about 350, 360. And then you've got the usual suspects, Rory, Xander. How about Morikawa, too, who already has a win on this golf course, and he loves Muirfield Village. This is a guy that also won here in the COVID-shortened season there in 2020, and I love that number with Victor Hovland, by the way, because let's face it, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago. Made the swing coach change there, reuniting with his former coach, Joe Mayo, at the PGA Championship. And that is now, 3 weeks ago. And then he finished outright third there. The only problem with him is he's the defending champion of the Memorial Tournament. And you'd go, wait a minute, he just won here a year ago? Yes, he did. But the problem was that after last season, sometimes these guys like Victor Hovland, they don't need a coach anymore. They already know what they're doing. And, as it turned out, Victor Hovland was MIA for the first, the first 3-4 months of the year here in the season. And then all of a sudden he saw the error of his ways there, hooks back up with his former coach. And if the PGA Championship is any indication of what is ahead, because this was a guy we were fully anticipating coming into this year, competing, and if not, probably winning one of the majors that we have had here so far. He came close last week at the PGA Championship. We'll see if he can get it done here this week. I would absolutely have him on the card, top five, top 10. I think he's going to be a force now that he's got the putting back and now that he's got the swing corrected and he's got the confidence. It should be very, very interesting. There are a lot of other guys in this tournament, too, that you're going to have to keep an eye on, including very familiar names. How about Justin Thomas? Can't go wrong with him. How about 2019 and 2021 Memorial winner Patrick Cantlay? As much as it drives me crazy to think about Patrick Cantlay and having a ticket on him as he melts down on a Sunday. There is no denying he loves this course. It is a course that he has dominated not once but twice as a champion. He is going to be there on Sunday, whether we like it or we don't. And if you go back a little further, you also have Hideki Matsuyama, who is also a winner here at the Memorial. He's got a pretty good price, although he has been battling some injuries. And again, Tommy Fleetwood is always a name. And if you can get him at 30-1 or better, certainly somebody that you are absolutely going to want to keep an eye on here. This is going to be a great tournament because the following week is going to be the U.S. Open. And you got to love what happens from here into the U.S. Open. There are some guys, I think, that are absolutely built to be able to compete and possibly win here and then do the same thing at the U.S. Open. Scottie Scheffler is a name that comes to mind. But I got to tell you, Colin Morikawa, I love this guy. Don't forget, he was the 54-hole co-leader, 3 weeks ago at the PGA Championship? And then he forgot his putter, or his putter forgot him. But the bottom line was he could not make a putt. He had 6, 8, and 10-foot birdie putts all day long on a Sunday, could not make a putt. But you heard Brady tell you he's looking at ball strikers this week, looking for guys with iron play and living right around from what used to be the Honda Classic here on another Jack Nicklaus course at PGA National. Yes, you better be able to hit your irons and you better be able to hit your long irons here. And as you can see from Brady's outrights, I love with some top 20s in there. Those are guys that fit that bill, guys that are absolutely going to be maybe not in the top five and the top 10, but certainly guys that are going to be up there on the leaderboard making some noise. But Colin Morikawa is not a guy that I think he's going to be very comfortable here. He's had some time to figure out the putter and work on it, but you will find no better ball striker here this week than him. And Victor Hovland will be the other guy. I hate going back-to-back with guys, defending champions, but something tells me this kid found something 3 weeks ago at the PGA. I would not at all be shocked if Victor Hovland, the defending champ, is once again on the 18th with Jack as this week's winner. And if it isn't this week, and I kind of hope it's not, then the U.S. Open, Victor Hovland is a guy I'm certainly going to target. We'll have much more on the Memorial as we get a little bit closer to the opening tee times tomorrow. But in the meantime, we got more Game Time Decisions coming your way next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, it's good to see the Dodgers finally remembered how to hit here, even against Paul Skenes. But it is 7-2 right now as the Dodgers just given up a 7 runs here through 4 innings is not good. But they have seemed to get to Skeens here for a couple of runs. Yankees and Twins, nothing. And I have a feeling I know somebody that might be involved in these games as we welcome in the man taking over at the top of the hour, Scotty Wetzel on In Game Live. Primetime coming up here, Scotty. Skeens, I was laughing last hour going, you do realize the Dodgers are an underdog on the road at PNC Park. I mean, $900 million you pay for a team, and you're an underdog at PNC Park in June here, Scotty. But I guess they're an underdog for a reason at this point.
Yeah, against the rookie pitcher, no less. Obviously a good rookie pitcher, but still a rookie pitcher done the same. Down 7-0, Ohtani just hit a two-run blast. He struck out against Skeens the first time, hit a two-run homer. So I guess they're even as far as their personal matchup goes, but still 7-2. I tell you, in this game, Joe, I saw something I can't remember happening too often. And that is last night they had posted on FanDuel anyway, Skeens' numbers, strikeout totals, how many outs he's going to get, right? So his strikeout total was 7.5, which is a pretty good number. Mm. He's hit that a couple times. So this afternoon when I looked again, it was 6.5. And it wasn't like 6.5 minus 160. You know, it was a legitimate one strikeout drop. And it's just like, why would that happen? Now, the guy's got 5 through 3 innings, you know, so he's on pace to get his 8 from that original number. But I can't remember, you know, they haven't had strikeout props around that long. But having a strikeout prop drop on a guy like that who's a public player, well, that was kind of weird. That had, like, sucker written all over it if you bet the over. But, again, you got 5 so far, so you're looking pretty good.
Yeah, no, so far, so good here. Yanks, Twins, still nothing. Actually, I'm sorry, 1-0, it looks like now. Yankees have taken the lead. 4-0, I'm sorry. I know, I didn't refresh it, though. 4-0 there. Rays 5-2 over the Marlins, which we got 7 runs in 4 innings with those two teams. Scotty, they haven't scored 7 runs in the last 2 months here. And the Orioles on top of the Blue Jays. What are you doing with some of these late night games? Because I really want to back Dylan Cease and the Padres. It's a step down. I mean, he hasn't been great, but it feels like this is the spot where he gets right and the Padres get right here tonight.
Boy, they better. I had the Padres the last 2 nights, Joe. I can't believe San Diego's lost twice to this lousy Angel team. I mean, are you kidding me, right? I mean, geez, are we going to go back to the well? You know, he's their best pitcher. You know, you have to, I suppose. But, man, it's been tough.
Unreal.
And they're big favorites, too. 170 on the road. You know, who wants to lay 170 with the San Diego Padres? Randy Jones could be on the hill, and I don't want to lay minus 170. But we're going to do it. We'll lay the minus 170. Got burned with the Cubs yesterday, you know, which I suppose we had no business even being in it since they were down 5-0 in the 5th inning. But they came back. They won, but only 6-5. So I laid the run and a half. So I might put a Cubs because Feedy pitching for the White Sox is actually halfway decent. He's, believe it or not, he's 4-1. White Sox only have 15 wins on the season. 5 have come with him pitching. So think about that. So maybe a little White Sox, or a Cubs Padres parlay. Rather than laying the run and a half with those two teams.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, it's the last time I'm betting you, Padres. If you screw us again here tonight, just that'll be it. You can't win with Dylan Cease on the mound against the Angels. I don't know what to tell you here. It's an exciting week and weekend, though, Scotty, right? We got the NBA kicking off tomorrow in Boston. And I saw this line get up as high as 7 today in spots here. Are you running to the window laying 7 tomorrow night with Boston? I mean, it just seems excessive, no?
Yeah, really does, right? You could grab them in the series. You know, I know a lot of people are thinking this, and I'm buying in, Joe. Take Dallas plus the 180, 190 or so. Hope they split first 2 games. They're very good on the road. They're better, in fact, on the road than they are at home, have been all season. And then you go back to Dallas tied 1-1, and now they won't be a plus 180, 190 underdog. You know, they'll probably be closer to pick them or so if you get the split. So that's my approach. There are a couple props there that jump off the page for me. How about this? How about Jason Tatum to get 5 or more assists in every game? 5-1, He averages close to six. So what am I missing here? Then we got Kyrie to get five assists in every game. 19 to 1. He averages over five. Not a lot over five, but 5.2. So they're giving you the number for both of these guys a little bit less than that. And one's 19 to 1, one's 5 to 1. So if you like to play a couple of props, little side goofy things, I mean, yeah, could you know either one of these guys have you know one or two assists one night, you lose your bet? Yeah, but at least it's not like asking for more than what they really average. So I'm playing both of those.
Yeah. I like that. Is there any world in which Luka is not the leading scorer in this series?
I know, right? I mean, he would, unless he got hurt, Joe, and, you know, he's ailing, but they're all ailing. Right. But otherwise, right, it's not going to be Kyrie. He takes too many games off. Tatum, you know, has the capability, but, you know, he also takes a couple of games off. So it's got to be Luka. I mean, it's minus 170. Which, you know, I mean, think about a baseball game, minus 170, you're willing to do it. So why not, right? Come hook or crook, win or lose, he'll probably be the guy.
How many games does it take in the Stanley Cup?
Stanley Cup, I think it's going seven. NBA, I think it's going six. Majority of NBA finals go six. 30 of the 77 finals have gone six games. Ooh. Exactly. So you can make that little bet if you want to, almost 2-1. But hockey, I think this is going to be war. I think both teams are going to win on the road. I think it's going to be a low-scoring series, not a lot of goals. I wouldn't play too many of those goal props, so I would stay away from that. And then WNBA tonight, Las Vegas laying 7.5, 8-9, Joe. They're coming off a loss. All the other games that they lost, they've only lost two in a row one time in 2 years. All the other games that they lost one time, they came back and won the next game by 10 points or more, except for one game by 9. Las Vegas.
Bounce back. It is a bounce back, people. Scotty Wetzel coming up top of the hour. Enjoy it, my man. We'll close it out next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in-game live. Game Time Decisions. In-game live is coming up here in about 6 minutes here, prime time. Scotty Wetzel. We'll take over with the crew, Dave Sherpin, and they got plenty of games getting ready to take center stage. Scotty was just telling us a couple of games in the WNBA coming up here tonight, one on the West Coast there. We also have some 8 o'clock Major League Baseball games getting ready to take center stage, the White Sox and the Cubs, as well as Texas taking on Detroit. But a quick look at the scoreboard right now and the Yankees. There are some teams that you can trust not to come through. Teams like the Atlanta Braves right now, who got one hit earlier today, losing 9-0 to Boston. And absolutely, you cannot trust them. You can't trust the Dodgers, who are down 7-2 after getting shut out last night. If it wasn't for an Ohtani two-run home run, they still wouldn't have any runs here. But the one team you can trust, especially against mediocre competition, is the Yankees right now. Four runs, five hits, all four runs in the bottom of the first inning off of Chris Paddock. It is almost impossible not to cash a ticket with them at this particular point. I know there was some concerns about Rodon. I don't know why people still have reservations about backing Carlos Rodon. He's gone three innings. He hasn't walked anybody. He has struck out six. Some of the numbers scream negative regression. I get it. But this is not the time. And I've been saying it now for well over the last month or so. He's a guy that finally looks healthy. He's admittedly the healthiest he has been in a couple of years. And we're talking about a guy that was not only one of the preeminent strikeout pitchers in Major League Baseball, but he was darn like unhittable when he was with the Giants. And then, of course, he got that monster contract with the Yankees and then got hurt. But he is healthy now, and this is quietly while we all stuck a fork in him because of the amount of money that he was given. That was maybe a little premature. So Rodon to me is an absolute guy that we are going to want to back. All right. We got him back here. He's going to run over the card for us on the memorial. Brady Cannon, technology is wonderful when it works, my friend. So go ahead. The floor is yours. Break down the card for us this weekend.
I had to run down the street and pay my internet bill. I apologize. But we started with Russell Henley at 40-1. I skirted all the favorites. I went down to Russell. And, you know, here's something to realize here. You know, the quote-unquote other best golfers in the world, we're getting some pretty juicy prices. I mean, I took Keegan Bradley at 60-1. This guy just finished runner-up at Colonial. When was the last time you saw a number like that on Keegan Bradley and Russell Henley? These are top 20 players in the world. So Henley at 40, Bradley at 60. Alex Noren, I'm back on the Swede. This guy's playing too well. He makes too much sense this week with the scrambling, the ball striking. Got him at 60. Sam Burns at 60. Good form as of late. 13th prior to the PGA Championship. 10th last week in Canada. Shane Lowry at 70-1. Plays tough golf course as well. Has won in the state of Ohio before. Tom Hoagie at 92-1. Another ball striker. If the putter can get hot for he and Lowry, it just might work. And then finally, a long bomb. Another ball striker guy who has the skill sets to match this venue. Kurt Kitayama at 125-1.
Ooh, that is a card is what we're talking about here. A couple of head-to-heads as well there, Brady?
Played one head-to-head. Tommy Fleetwood at even money over Justin Thomas. I like the way Fleetwood is trending right now. A lot of people think he's going to win this week. I'm going to wait. I think he could win next week. He is on my card for the U.S. Open, but I think he'll do better than JT this particular week, a little pre-U.S. Open tune-up. Let's see if he can win that matchup and then maybe win his first PGA Tour event slash major next week.
Looking forward to this tournament here because, like you said, it's big boy golf, $4 million prize to the winner. That is not chump change. These guys are going to be going at it. And, of course, like you said, I hope there's a couple of guys that don't win this week so we can back them next week here. So you never want to do the whole back-to-back thing, but I think this is going to be fascinating, this tournament. And, of course, Brady will come back and join us on Friday. We'll see if there's any in-game opportunities as well. In the meantime, get ready. In-game live primetime coming your way next here on The Grid. Enjoy the night.